Amen. Welcome to River of Hope this morning. I know just looking outside, we see just the beauty of the day that God has given us. Yesterday we were outside, it's raining. If you were outside, you got wet. That was pretty much a guarantee. But we are just blessed to have another day on this beautiful earth that God has given us. We have just a few announcements. If you were not here last week we did our very first Mission Sunday, and we gave everyone the opportunity to pledge for missions. And I want to say thank you right off the top for everyone who responded to that request and to God leading you to give towards advancing ultimately His kingdom and the growth of His kingdom through supporting missions. We all know that God doesn't call each and every one of us to leave where we live and to go across the ocean or into the hardest places and some of the most hurtful places of our nation even to advance His kingdom. But He does call people, and it's our job to support them. It's our job to send them. It's our job to pray for them. And I am really, really thankful that each and every one of you who decided to help that cause last week did so. I will get exact numbers as to what we've done through your pledges as soon as possible. I know I want to say that off of last week's response to the pledges and the amounts that came in, we've already covered the roster that we have here, which is ultimately what we were hoping to do, is to allow the church to come on board and to personally take on a sponsorship of someone and take ownership of sending that person to their mission field. And that would allow us as a church to bring in more missionaries and to take on more missionaries on our roster and support more and grow that ministry of sending missionaries. So I want to say thank you. I also did mention that if you were not able to be here last week, we would give you an opportunity this week to take part in that as well. So John has some of our missionary pledge cards. If you want one, just raise your hand, and he can hand one to you. And then you can take some time. If you can't turn it in, as we do offering here shortly, you can hand that in after service as well. There's a couple giving options on there. Of course, there's an other, so if you feel led to give something different. We are giving Terrence the freedom to fully proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to every single student who comes to that event. That is massive. That is awesome. That is amazing. It's something that we've been really praying about for the past few months, and God just really laid it on my heart last week that, hey, guys, we need to get out in the community. We need to be doing more, and this was God kind of saying, all right, here you go. Do it. So He's given us that. The coolest part about this whole thing, you know, when you're trying to work out details and you're trying to figure out how to make this all work, we have connections in this community that are amazingly set in place by God alone to advance things like this in powerful ways. So on September 20th, Wednesday, from 6:30 to 8 p.m., also at Broadway Theater, Terrence is going to come back. It's going to be a youth rally. All right, so we're going to be inviting middle school and high school kids. The public school is going to do an announcement at their community session on the 19th to say, hey, there's going to be a youth rally tomorrow night. All right, so the public school is going to say, hey, let your kids come back. So it's going to be at a public venue. We are going to give them free popcorn, and we're going to be doing a raffle. And right now, I'm working on all the details to be trying to get a couple Packers tickets to give away. Now, if that's not exciting, I don't know what is. I thought that was pretty cool. I'll just say it. Amanda gave me the idea. She's like, just do Packers tickets. Like, why didn't I think of that? That's why God put us together. I don't know. It's it right there. Anyway, so we're going to be doing a Packer ticket giveaway, which is going to be eligible to all the students that are there. So now we've given them incentive, we've given them free food, and we're giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I can't even imagine. I would ask you that through these next couple weeks before that event comes, be praying about this. We know that our schools need Jesus in a powerful way. We know that. And we are blessed to have instructors and teachers and leadership in those schools that have a faith background. That is a huge blessing for the community of Medford and the Medford School District. But it's the students who have the freedom to take the message of Jesus to each other. And we need that to be happening in our schools. So be praying about that event. Pray for the people that God wants to be there. It will be advertised not only by the school at the community night, it'll be advertised by the school system on their Facebook events pages. When they start sending those out, you'll see it. So we're going to get as many details as possible. We are going to be looking for people who have a heart to be reaching out to these youth. We're going to want some adults there at the event to be able to help these youth. If they respond to Terrence and the message that he brings, that we are there to encourage them, to pray with them, to show them that there are people that love them and care for them. We're also going to be working, and this is where I'm going to need you to be really prayerfully considering your involvement. We're going to be working on some sort of a follow-up event. It's not going to be nearly as cost-intensive as this event will be, but it's something that we're hoping to create excitement to be able to invite these kids back to from that night, to give them something right away to say, all right, I need to go there. Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced that where you've been to something, you've accepted Jesus Christ, but then you had nothing after that, and you just kind of dwindle up and fall away. There's nothing to continue that growth. What I'm really hoping to see, and God can do way better things than what I can even imagine, is that out of this outreach, out of this event, that maybe this will be the launching point for a River of Hope youth group. I don't know what that looks like. I honestly don't even know who the leader is going to be. But I know that God has amazing plans, and I know that he wants this community. He wants that school. He wants that elementary school. He wants that middle school. He wants all of the rural schools around us to be praising his name, as do we. So please consider that. Keep praying about it. If you're interested, I know there's a couple people that have said, hey, if there's an event, I will help. So if you're one of those people that you just haven't said that yet, please let me know. We need people who are willing to just be there and be supportive and be loving, not judgmental, not looking down on anybody, not just like you are here. When we don't turn people away from whatever we might know about them, but you accept them, you love them, you act like Jesus to them, that's what we're looking for. That's what these youth need. They don't need another person looking down on them and saying, you know, you're not right, or whatever the case may be. That's the announcement. I think I preached on that one a little bit, but anyway, I think that's pretty awesome. So September 19th, 4 p.m. is the community session. Your whole family can go to that event. September 20th is going to be the youth rally from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Dave Flegel is a good friend of mine. He has offered to just about give that theater away for that night. And it's just amazing to see how God is putting all these details together and just laying it wide open for us to take hold of and to run with. So we got to praise God for giving us that opportunity. We're going to jump into our message this morning. We're done with announcements now. I'm going to read from Acts chapter 2. Last week, we really gave a challenge to get out in the community. We talked about the Great Commission. We talked about Acts chapter 1, where Jesus himself, before ascending to heaven and returning to the side of God himself, he tells us one thing. Go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He tells us all to go and be his witnesses to our local community, to our county, to our state, to our nation, to the ends of the earth. And we've supported, I know I shared this last week, we support U.S. missions, we support district missions, we support international missions. So we're doing those three phases, but it's the local, it's the Jerusalem that we needed to focus on. And that's something that God has just opened the door for us through this youth rally opportunity and this school tour with Terrence Talley. He's just kind of laid this at our feet and said, if you're serious, let's do it. So we got it. We got to trust that God is lining this up for us. This morning, we're going to continue talking about about growing, about the way that God is growing his church. So we're going to be in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is where the day of Pentecost is documented. We're not going to go to the beginning of Acts chapter 2. We're going to actually spend most of our time towards the end. So just a little background of Acts chapter 2. Verse 1 starts out talking about the apostles meeting in the upper room of a house in Jerusalem. And soon the sound like a roaring wind and the vision of flaming tongues of fire were over each and every one of the people that were in that place, and they began speaking in tongues that they themselves did not know. In this particular instance, they're speaking in a language, a physical language. So if you're going around town and Josh actually has a foreign exchange student from Brazil, so she starts speaking in Portuguese. Obviously, we can't understand a word of it. It'd be like us speaking to her in Portuguese without knowing it, is what was happening there by the Holy Spirit, speaking through them and giving them the ability to speak in tongues they did not know. Hopefully that kind of clears that little bit up for you a little bit. Because of that, the people all around that area, they were hearing this and they're saying, man, these people are drunk. This is crazy. What's going on? And then you have Peter coming out and he begins preaching. And he begins refuting what they're saying about this, their group being drunk. And this is actually the establishment of Peter and his ministry of preaching. Before that, he's a scaredy cat. He's the one who can't do anything. He's the one that's claiming to not even know Jesus at his crucifixion. And here he is becoming the rock that Jesus said he would be. It's a pretty powerful passage when you begin to look at it and break it down to see what's all happening. We're going to read from Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. Before that, I'm going to read the preceding verse. It's Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. So in that single day, as this is all taking place and the Holy Spirit is coming upon these people and they are doing these amazing things and speaking in languages they don't know, and Peter is preaching with boldness and with power that only comes from the Holy Spirit, we know from all the documented scriptures before that he was not that way. He was weak. He was scared. He was the one who would shy away and kind of hide. And now you see him standing in front of thousands of people and boldly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. The verses I want to focus on today are 42 through 47. We're going to read that right now. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. Verse 47, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. And we're going to break this down a little bit as we go, but before we do, I want to pray, if you would bow with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time that we are able to just dig into your word. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just give me words to share that would bring clarity, that would bring just the fullness of the truth that you are giving us through this passage. We thank you, Jesus. We just praise your holy name for everything that you are doing in our lives and that we are reading about in this historical event, Lord. In your holy name we pray. Amen. It's interesting as we're digging into Acts chapter 2, it's really documenting the beginning of the church. So before this event, you have small groups that would get together and they'd do their studies, and occasionally you would see Jesus with his disciples and his apostles just meeting together and teaching those few. So you have Jesus who's reaching down to the 12 men that he chose to live life with and to show everything about himself and to really show them everything about him. He taught them first. Now you see those people going out and expanding that group, and really it's the formation of the church. If we continue on through Acts, you begin to see that that's also where persecution comes in. The government comes in, and they begin to see what's happening, and they want to shut it down, so they begin to attack the Christians and the meetings that are happening. But the amazing thing, through all that persecution, through all of that dangerous time, is these people are, they're beginning to run, they're beginning to spread out, but as they do, they are spreading the gospel as they go. So even though they're running and they're getting away from the government that's attacking them, they are doing what God has called them to do in spreading the word to the ends of all earth. It's pretty powerful when you think about it. These people are literally running for their lives, but in doing so, they are taking the gospel further than it would have gone if they had continued to stay in that one place. About 3,000 people came to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior based off of what we have in the scriptures and based off of the words that Peter shared with them. He directly challenged them in their own impact of sending Jesus to die. It's pretty powerful. I would encourage you to read through Acts chapter 2 and the message that Peter gives to pick up where we're at. As we're digging into 42 through 47, I want you to pay attention because this is what their church is doing. It's fostering unity. It's fostering a continued growth together. It's creating a stronger bond between each and every person as they continually join together to follow Jesus on a deeper level. Verse 42, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching is what we do every Sunday when we dig into the scriptures and we are reading the words of the apostles. As we were studying through Romans, we're reading the words of Paul, one of the apostles of Jesus. In this particular text, we see that they're actually with those men. So they're getting the firsthand approach to this teaching. They're getting the eyewitness accounts. In a way, so are we, because we're reading the words of these very men. But they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You need to understand that the apostles were teaching what Jesus taught them. One thing we need to understand about a lot of the context of the verses that we read in the scriptures is their attention to detail when they were sharing the accounts of their fathers, their forefathers, and those who came before them was very strict, very detailed, down to a T. They would make sure that every detail was given exactly the way it happened. You know how you, what's the analogy? The idea where you tell somebody something and they tell it to someone else and they tell it to someone else and how all the details by the time it comes back around are completely different and wrong. You know, because a lot of times our culture, we just don't listen that well. So we hear things and we give details, but it's not always all the right details and maybe we fill in the blanks with what we thought we heard. That's not the same with the culture that we get our scriptures from. These people were very, very devoted to details and devoted to maintaining the truth that they have been passing on through the generations. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Therefore, they are learning what Jesus would teach himself. They were devoted to fellowship. That means they were devoted to getting together, to spending time together, not just like we are right now in Sunday morning format. These people were doing everything they could to connect with each other and to encourage each other, to lift each other up, and to just continue to grow stronger in their faith through friendships together. Now, I was talking to someone yesterday, and they said to me, they're like, you know, it's been really cool to see that some of the connections that are happening through church, they're not just friendships. It's like it's more than that. Like you begin to know that person on just another amazing level, where you have a stronger connection to those people because you're spending time with them, because you're growing closer to them in your faith through Jesus. It's important that we are connected with each other, and as we grow together through meeting together, through eating together, through studying the Word of God together, it fosters such a strong bond and relationship and a unity that is powerful. It is very powerful to be bonded in that way together. And that's what we see happening with this newly formed church and these apostles making sure that they are bringing everyone together. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper. After, in a little while here, we're going to partake in communion as well. We're going to begin to try and put into practice some of the things that is being shared through this passage. To sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. There's really four things we need to point out, and they're all found in this first verse. Four things that if we want this church to continue growing and moving forward, and we want to see people continue to come in and to find a home that they can connect with and people that they can call friends and family, these are things that we need to be doing. The first one is being devoted to the apostles' teaching. Let's kind of change that a little bit. That means being devoted to Jesus' teaching. Because it doesn't matter who's up here teaching. It doesn't matter who's up here sharing the Word of God. What matters is that we're getting the Word of God. Devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching. If for some reason you can't make it here, your work schedule gets in the way, and it's just a little bit more sporadic, we understand that. I get that. I know what it's like. But that doesn't give you a release from connecting with the Word of God. If you can't make it here, and this is your kind of your main area where you connect and get the Word of God, I encourage you either to log in and get on the website and listen to messages, or find another pastor online, which it's amazing the resources you can find. But devote yourselves to the apostles' teaching, to the teaching of Jesus Christ. The next one, kind of counteracts what I just said about if you can't make it here, get in the Word. It says devote yourself to fellowship. That means do everything within your power to connect with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. One of the greatest tools of Satan is to get us alone. I'm not even kidding about that. I can guarantee all of you have that experience where you've been isolated and you've been set apart and you've been alone, and you know that you feel attacks and you feel the temptations and you feel things coming that you would never have had if you were connected with people around you. That alone is a powerful, powerful point. Devote yourself to fellowship. Maybe that means reevaluating your commitments and reevaluating your schedule to make sure that you can be available. If you can't be here Sundays, maybe now you can make your schedule work so you can be here Wednesday nights for life groups, and you're getting connection and fellowship that way. I don't care how you do it, just do it. The third is to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper. I'm kind of dropping the ball a lot up here when I'm not offering communion on a monthly basis. That's my fault. I hope that we can get back into a habit of doing that on a regular basis so that we as a church, we as a group of believers can be taking part in that together. But you need to understand, before that, it's talking about sharing in meals together. That's a one-on-one connection. That's a small group connection. That's building friendships on a deeper level than just a, hey, how are you doing on Sunday mornings? If you want to feel like you are connected in church and like you're getting fed in a place, connect with the people that go there. It's a lot less about who's up here preaching the word, and it's a lot more about who's out there sitting beside you, encouraging you, lifting you up, challenging you if you're coming under temptation or struggles. We know that the scripture tells us iron sharpens iron. That means we need to be with brothers or sisters in Christ who are willing to challenge us, who are willing to call us out if we're in struggle and not sharing it with people. But a lot of that relationship has to have a foundation first. I know what it's like to kind of go into a situation and just not feel comfortable telling people about your personal life. But if you have that foundation of getting together and learning about each other and learning a little bit about each other's past, and you have that tighter relationship because of meeting together, you begin to have that trust that you can begin to reach out to each other. I love to know that, you know, it is happening. I do see it in this church, even in this group right now, where people are willing to reach out to others when they haven't seen them in a while. Or they're saying, hey, you want to get together? I know I haven't seen you, but I just be nice to get together and talk. Perfect. As believers, as Christians, we need to be reaching out to those who are hurting, to those who are struggling, who maybe even are lost because they've just been so overwhelmed by life and everyday circumstances. And the last point really is devote yourself to prayer. I've talked about this time and time again. It's not easy to get devoted to prayer. And the main reason it's not easy is either we're too busy and we can't keep our mind off of our to-do list long enough, or we're trying to get into that habit and Satan is using our own minds to be bringing things to us that are distracting. I've been through this. I know what it's like to start praying about something and literally in the minute, in that very moment of trying to pray and trying to focus on what God might have me pray about, it's like, you know, you're walking down the woods and it's squirrel and it's like, whoa, what was that? And no, I got to pray. And you walk, it's like another one. And it's just, you know what it's like. That's okay. I believe God honors your attempts to connect with Him as long as you continue to do it. Each and every time you try to focus on Him in prayer, you're going to get stronger and you're going to get a little bit more. You know how horses have the blinders on? Right? So they keep moving straight ahead and they keep doing what they're supposed to do and they focus on their one goal. They've got the blinders on. The more we practice prayer, the more we focus on God, the more we spend time in Him, with Him, the more it's like getting those blinders up where we focus on God and God alone. This past 3 months have really challenged me to do that. And I tell you what, it's gotten easier and easier and easier each and every month of being able to sit down and just say, all right, I'm going to spend 15 minutes and I'm going to read my devotions this morning. I found myself at work, and maybe you can do this, maybe not, but I found myself at work. I've got a little bay that I work in. It's my own space. It's probably from about that window to where I'm at and as deep as a stage. That's my bay. That's my work area. And it's mine. People don't come in my work area unless they need something from me or they want to talk. Right? So it's pretty secluded. It's pretty private. It's in the middle of the shop, but it's pretty private. But I can sit there and I can weld and I can pray and I can just worship God through my work, through my prayer. And it's been amazing to see what God has been doing and revealing and speaking to me. I've been able to recall things and prayer requests that I would never have remembered if it was just on my own strength and ability to remember things. So we need to be devoted to the apostles' teaching, the teachings of Jesus. We need to be devoted to fellowship, to meeting together. I don't care if it's here. I don't care if it's Wednesday nights. I don't care if it's a group of us getting out and who knows, shooting guns or whatever. We like to do that too. We need to get together with fellow believers and fellowship with them. Share meals together. That's where we really learn about each other. It's amazing what you can learn over dinner with someone. And just the freedom to have conversation and connecting over something as simple as a meal. And lastly, to prayer. I'm kind of done preaching, but I want to keep moving on through the word. Because this next passage, after we've already seen what they're saying the church is doing, we see the response. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. So now you've got a group of people who are committed to doing all these things, to growing in strength, to growing in their faith in Jesus. And now you begin to see what the Holy Spirit is doing through them in the general public around them. If you look around our nation right now, not only do we see the devastation that's happened in Texas, I have a friend who's a pastor in Beaumont, Texas. Now, I don't know where that is in the map, but I know it's in the flood area, and I know that had pretty serious devastation. That family, that pastor and his wife and their daughter, I believe she's 1 year old or younger, were saved on a boat out of the second story of their house, actually their grandparents' house. The president has actually called for today to be a national day of prayer for Texas, for Houston, for the devastation, the flooding that's happened down there. I want to spend a little bit of time here as we close to do that, to be praying for Texas, to be praying for every single person who's affected, whether it's in that state or outside and having to just take on a little bit more than they were expecting. But a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers met together in one place and shared everything they have. They shared everything they have. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. Now, we know that the context of these passages and our current culture are completely different. So we obviously know that some of this just isn't going to happen. We're not all going to show up here every day and get a passage of scripture together and pray and eat. We just can't do it. It would be kind of cool if we could, but we just know that life's demands and our current culture and the draw on each and every one of us is too much. So in this current context, this is what they were able to do to continue to foster a tighter bond with each other. They met each other's needs. You know, God has given us everything we need. And sometimes that means that what he's given us, he's expecting us to bless someone else with. so that their needs are met. All the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. Jumping down to verse 46, they worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. One of the most powerful things we see through this passage is the generosity of the believers. I would venture to say that one of the most impactful things you'll ever experience is going into a place and seeing just a pure sense of generosity. It's not even necessarily going to be how that person always smiles and they always greet you warmly. I mean, that might be part of it. But it's like, do you know what it's like to walk into some place and they have something for you? They're willing to give you, just give of themselves to you. And I can't tell you what that looks like. But you know what it feels like to experience true and genuine generosity, where you give of something without expecting anything in return, just to bless someone. As believers, as a church, if we are going to be closed-fisted and just hold on to everything with everything we've got, we can't expect the people and the culture around us to be wanting to come and join with us. But if we are some of the most generous people they have ever experienced and been around, there's something about generosity that draws people in. A joyful and generous heart is a very powerful tool. Verse 47. All the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. So not only are they getting together and learning the Jesus' teaching, not only are they having fellowship together, not only are they sharing in meals and communion together, and devoting themselves to prayer, they're praising God through it all. They're making sure that each and every one of them understands that everything they have comes from God. And they are honoring God in all of their actions. The very last sentence of our passage this morning is, each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. That right there kind of brings excitement to me. Because not only do we see that people are meeting each other's needs and they're spending time together, they're growing stronger, but because of it, the people around them see it and they want in. It's not about powerful preaching. It's not about the ability to have persuasive speech when you're talking to your friends. It's about them seeing something genuine and different in you. I know for a fact there's people in here who have told me, it's like, you know, I've got friends who are coming up and just saying, there's something different about you. You've changed. That's probably one of the best statements you can ever hear. When those who know you closest come up and say, man, I just don't recognize it. It's just something different. When that statement comes out, that's your opportunity to say, well, let me tell you about it. Let me tell you why my life is different. I've experienced the love of Jesus. I've experienced salvation through Jesus. I've experienced being freed from my own past and my own darkness and everything that I've screwed up in life. I've experienced the release from that. And I've been able to find joy in life through what Jesus has done for me. Your testimony is something that no one can refute. Remember that. Your story, your testimony, what has happened in your life and how you came to find Jesus is something no one can refute. They can't tell you that something happened in your life didn't happen because you know with full conviction that it did. And to each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. We are going to take part of communion this morning. We read in the passage this morning that having the Lord's Supper, communion together, is part of the regular practice of the church that is growing together. I'm gonna ask Alexa to come up and get ready to play a song. If I could have, can I get Roland and John? Can you give me a hand with communion? We practice an open communion. What that means is you don't have to be a member here. You don't have to be a regular attender. But what we do ask is that you have already come to a place of receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Scripture tells us that we need to examine ourselves. And we need to pay attention when we are taking part of the communion together. That if we do it on a false basis, if we do it just out of trying to look good and match in with everybody else that's presenting a false truth on something that is a sacred act. I'm not saying there's anything powerful about grape juice and crackers, but what it represents, the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus Christ, is sacred. We need to honor that. I would ask that as we get prepared to pass out the elements, that you would just spend some time in prayer. Ask God to be opening your eyes. If there's something within you that you need to repent of, that you need to talk to Him about, that you would do so. Maybe you're in your seat right now and you're going, I've never asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. That's an opportunity right now where you can just ask God, I know without you I'm nothing. But I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that this element of representing the blood and the body of Christ is true. I believe that He died for me. He rose again. And I ask that you would come into my heart. We're going to pray before we read the text this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this message. I thank you for these elements that we're going to partake of together. Father, I pray and ask that you would just make it true within our hearts that we see this as a sacred act, that we recognize the truth that the cracker is representing your body and the juice is representing the blood that you've spilled for us. And the power that is held in each one, Lord God, is your blood represents freedom. That your blood represents restoration and health. And we thank you, Jesus, for the sacrifice of your body and your blood. It gives us the ability to be restored with God. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can pass out the elements and I'll read the First Corinthians chapter 11. Starting at verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We continue reading. "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." That's why we ask you to spend some time in prayer before you partake of the elements of communion, that we honor the tradition and the meaning of communion together. We know that with Jesus dying and shedding blood for us, that it was that act that met all the requirements of God's law in giving us restoration. That He took our place on the cross. We know that Jesus was beaten. That's why we partake of the bread or the cracker together that represents His body that was broken for us. Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He took the bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake of the bread together. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's partake of the cup together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You that You shed Your blood and that Your body was broken for us, Lord God, that You took our place on the cross, You took our punishment upon Your shoulders. And in doing so, Lord God, You took away the power of sin, the power of death over each and every one of our lives, over each and every one of us who calls on Your name. We ask, Father, that You would allow us to remember in a deeper way each and every day what Your blood and Your body means for us. We thank You, Father, for the truth You've given us through Your word. Just praying that we would be able to take the challenges You've given us today to heart. We would join together in learning more about You and to fellowshipping together and to partaking in meals and sharing life together and praying. Lord God, that this church, not just this church, Lord God, but your church would continue to grow. And that in this season of darkness, of just a hard time, Lord God, and devastation all around the United States, Father, we pray and ask that your will would be done, Lord, that your name would be brought for glory. Lord, that your church would rise up to meet the needs of those around us, the people who are repairing homes and trying to just restore life to the way it was, Father God, that your church would meet them. We lift up those affected by the hurricane and by the floods in Houston and Texas, Lord God. We know that everything that happens for a reason, Father God, and that you are drawing people close to you, and that the love and compassion they feel from those serving is the strongest representation of who you are, Jesus. Just pray and ask that you would continue to make yourself known to those in need. That you would continue to rise up people who serve you with a pure heart, with a joyful and generous heart, Lord God. We thank you for the opportunities you've blessed us with to serve you. Just pray and ask that your Spirit would continue to move through this nation, that we would begin to see a great harvest, Lord God. That a revival would come, Lord God, and sweep this nation like we've never seen before, God. We know, Father, that if we can turn from our wicked ways and we repent and we lift up this nation to you, Father God, that you will hear our prayers. We thank you, Lord God, for what you are going to do, even through some of the hardest times, Father, that you are going to bring just a beautiful and bountiful harvest of people to you, Lord, to be restored with you. Thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen. This is what it sounds like. This is what it looks like. This is what it feels like when the church is alive.